Welcome to TTM Cast, the podcast for TTM autograph collectors, sponsored by sportscardforum.com, the ultimate in sports card trading and discussion, and by thetrovesportsden.com. Come and hang out and chat with baseball pros online. And now, here's our host, Jeff Baker.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM autograph collector. My name is Jeff Baker, and I'm your host for the program. We have a fun show today. We're going to share a little TTM trick-or-treat stories from fellow TTM collectors and autograph collectors. So we asked you guys to submit me your favorite trick or treat or TTM horror story, and we got some cool stories, so hopefully you'll enjoy that. That's coming up a little later in the program. If you have any comments, questions, or feedback for this show or any show, please send me your emails and comments to ttmcast@yahoo.com. Once again, it is my email address is ttmcast@yahoo.com. I am on Twitter at @castttm. I am on Instagram at @ttmcast. And I am on Facebook under Jeff Baker, posting on all sorts of TTM and autograph collecting sites. So we are all over the internet. The podcast can be found all over the place, anywhere podcasts are available, including we are on Stitcher, we are on iTunes, we are on Apple, we are on Spotify, we are on Podbean, and if you have an Alexa device, all you have to say is, "Alexa, play TTM Cast Podcast," and Alexa will play this episode or any episode for you. So we are all over the internet. Please spread the word. Let people know about the podcast. If you're into TTM collecting, if you're into card collecting, or if you're just a glutton for punishment and you're a sports fan, please spread the word. Let people know about our show. We also have a forum on sportscardforum.com, so check that out. Now on to our first segment, which is Baker's Dozen, which is kind of a brain dump of what's been going on in the industry and the industry in the hobby. It's in hobby for the past week or so. First, our next show will be next Sunday, November 1st. So I can't believe October is almost over. Happy Halloween to everyone. As I said, we're doing our Halloween trick-or-treat show first time this week. And then next week, our next show will be Sunday, November 1st. Hopefully everyone watched the World Series last night. The Game 4, Dodgers and the Tampa Bay Rays was fabulous. And the Rays came back and won in the bottom of the ninth, scoring two runs. So it was a very exciting game. So if you haven't seen it, and spoiler alert, I let everyone know who won. But go check it out on MLB. I'm sure they're going to replay it today. We have online show coming up. It's at sportscardexpo.com. It is going to be November 21st and 22nd. I see they have Bobby Hall and Andre Dawson will be guests doing something there, and this is the second time they've done this online virtual sports card expo. So check it out. It's sportscardexpo.com. It is November 21st and 22nd. I noticed Dave Righetti is no longer signing for free. He's tied in with one of these sports promotional companies, so I understand Dave Righetti is no longer signing TTMs for free. Just a couple things in terms of friends of the show, people that have been on the show. I want to congratulate Justin Schaefer, who was on the show a couple weeks ago from Charm City Autograph. Justin came up, unveiled his brand new logo yesterday, so congratulations, Justin. Welcome. Your new logo is fabulous. Check out Justin at Charm City Autograph. Autographs. Also, Pat Combs, who was on the show last week, former Major League pitcher, he has a book out. Make sure you check out Pat's book at More Than the Score. It is on Amazon, and I highly recommend it. So check out Pat Combs' book on Amazon, More Than the Score, that was released last week, and Pat was on the show last week promoting it. So if you haven't heard our Pat Combs interview, please go check it out. It's a really fun fun, interesting interview. A couple other things. Our friend Scott from Reindeer Studios is still pumping out his cool drawings. He calls them doodles, but I think they're works of art. Go check out Scott Reindeer Studios on YouTube. He just posted a Vern Law doodle and previous to that a Mike Norris doodle. He did the 1960 Vern Law. Drew it and sent out to him, and a week later got a return from him. And then he did Mike Norris, former pitcher for the Oakland A's, and he got a nice autograph from him. So go check out Scott's work, Reindeer Studios on YouTube. And lastly, our friend Drew Pelto has a channel on YouTube. It's called Drew's Autographs, and he posts just about every day about all his TTM returns. Drew was out there sending out returns more than anyone I know, and he always gets great successes. So go check out Drew's channel on YouTube. It's Drew's Autographs, and it's Drew's TTM Mail Day is the name of his podcast, not podcast, his video channel. So go check that out. And now on for our Vern Rapp Minute. Vern Rapp Minute is dedicated to Mr. Vern Rapp, who had passed away prior to me sending out a TTM request, as you know, if you listen to the program. And so this is out of respect for Mr. Vern Rapp. We call it the Vern Rapp Minute, let people know who were people in the entertainment industry and sports world who passed away the previous week, so you're not embarrassed by sending out a TTM request to someone who is no longer with us. So we just lost a couple of people. We lost one of my favorite lead singer from one of my favorite bands in the 80s growing up, Tony Lewis from The Outfield. Your Love was a big hit, and it's actually a walk-on song for some major league players, and I'm sure you've heard of it. Mr. Tony Lewis from The Outfield passed away. And in the world of football, we lost Matt Blair. Matt played for the Minnesota Vikings. He was a star linebacker. He was a six-time Pro Bowl selection, consecutive Pro Bowl selection from 1977 to 1982. And Matt was 70 years old. So we are sorry for your losses. And that wraps up the Vern Rapp Minute for this week.
This week's TTM returns are brought to you by Sports Card Forum. Find players' addresses, see who's signing, and more, all for free. SportsCardForum.com, the ultimate in sports card trading and discussion.
Just one return this week, guys. Been kind of slow in terms, I don't know if it's the mail or I gotta start sending out some more requests, but I did get one return from George Foster, former slugger for the Cincinnati Reds and Big Red Machine. He also played for the Mets and Giants in the 70s and the 80s. So I got a return from George Foster, actually two, for my 1978 set. I got the home run leader card that was previously signed by Jim Rice, so now that completes that card. And then I got his all-star card, his singular card. So I sent a donation for $10 and got both cards signed. And it took maybe two and a half weeks to get back. So that's it for returns. I actually bought a couple things on eBay this week. I figured I'd share them with you. I got a 1988 cello box, which was kind of cool. I got a pretty good deal on that. I think I paid $10 for the box, and I think it was $12 for shipping. So the shipping was more than the box, but still for $22 for an unopened box. It's 1988 box, which was cool. I don't think I'm going to open those. I usually do, but I'm going to keep those and not open them. I also got a the Holy Grail of cards for me. It's a card that I've always wanted as a kid, and I just never seem to get around to buying it. I'm a huge Los Angeles Dodger fan going back to the day, and I got the 1972 Topps high number Steve Garvey card in great condition for like $50. So I never thought I would own that card, and I'm thrilled to add that to my collection. So that kind of wraps up returns and things that I bought with, through eBay. I've actually got three or four more things coming from eBay that I bought in the last couple days. So some New England Patriots stuff that I'm trying to fill holes in my New England Patriots collection. So I've got those coming, and I'll report on those when I get them back next week.
This week's interview is brought to you by the Trove Sports Den. Come and hang out and chat with baseball pros from past and present online. Visit thetrovesportsden.com and join in the fun today.
And now it's time for a new segment, just for the Halloween. I asked listeners to send in their favorite TTM trick-or-treater horror stories. And I had five or six guys who recorded trick-or-treat stories for me, interviews, and then I had a couple guys I couldn't get a hold of to record, but still, they're kind of cool stories, so that I want to include, their stories as well. So I'm going to read a couple of stories to you that the guys had sent in, and then we'll go right into some of the interviews that I had with people that shared stories with me. So they're just going to be kind of rapid fire, quick 5 to 10 minute interviews with fellow collectors, talking about their trick-or-treat stories, and then we talk a little TTMing. So it's gonna bounce from one interview to the next. But you can tell I can kind of intro it on our phone calls. But before we get to the recorded interviews, I'd like to share a couple of stories that from listeners that I didn't get a chance to record, but I still thought they were kind of cool stories that I wanted to share with you guys. So here's my first trick-or-treat story. This comes from Jack Smith. Jack sent me an email, and in the email said, when I was 10 years old, I sent a TTM to Art McAfee, who played for the Phillies. Unknowns to him, he was married to a girl who lived in his hometown and knew his dad. They arranged for him to meet Mr. McAfee when her daughter came in with him and came to visit, and so I could receive an autographed ball, a team ball. It had all the 1965 Phillies on it. Jack kept the ball in his desk drawer so that the ink on the ball would not fade. That was someone told him to do. And about 12 years later, his nephew asked if he wanted to play catch with him. And this was right after Jack had graduated college, so he had not been home that frequently. And the first ball thrown that he caught, I couldn't believe what I saw. He was using my 1965 Phillies autograph ball to play catch, and all the autographs are ruins. And he said, when I asked him, didn't he see the autographs on the ball? He simply replied, I didn't recognize any of the names, so I thought it was just friends of yours. Well, and then he closes and says, at least he had it for a few years. So that is truly a trick-or-treat, TTM horror story from Jack. And Jack, thanks for sharing that story with you. I have a similar story that I like to share with you guys. Is when I was a little kid, this was probably second or third grade, they had a contest at my elementary school of selling something. I forgot we were selling something, but I sold the most for the whole school, and the prize was an autographed Boston Bruins hockey stick. This was probably 1973-ish, 74, when the Bruins were really good with Bobby Orr and Phil Esposito and all those guys on the team. And I got the hockey stick, and I think I was probably 7 or 8 years old. And what did I do? I went out and played with the hockey stick and played street hockey with it out in the front of my house. So I can sympathize with Jack for someone playing with the prized possession. I didn't realize it was going to be prized possession, and I rue the day that I actually played with the hockey stick that I had won. But you know what? What we learn is what we learn. My next story comes from Daniel Pittman. Daniel Pittman. Daniel sent me a message through Facebook, through one of the groups that I'm in, and Daniel talks about time. He said it was about 3 years ago, and he sent Dirk Nowitzki a letter and a ticket from his first All-Star game. The ticket stub had Wilt Chamberlain on it. Months go by, and he didn't get a return. months go by and I get a return. I open it up and there's a note attached to the unsigned stub from a handle that says, "This has nothing to do with Dirk." So I sent it back. And then he says, I put a post note on it and explained that the fact that it was Dirk related because it was his first All-Star appearance. And a few months later, Daniel got it signed back and a thank you from the handler for clarifying it. So that's kind of a cool trick. And a treat getting a nice autograph from Dirk Nowitzki, who's a great signer. And it was his first All-Star game ticket. So that's kind of a cool story to share. Thank you for sharing that, Daniel. I have kind of one more horror story to share with you before we get into the interviews. This was back in high school when I think I was a sophomore in high school, and my history teacher found out that myself and another friend of mine were into cards, and we got really real friendly, and he had all his cards from when he was growing up. So these were all from 1958 and 59 and 60, and he didn't have any of the cards from the 70s and 80s. So this was when no one knew cards had any value, and we traded him all sorts of 78, 79, 80 cards, you know, Kali Stremski and Jim Rice and Fred Lynn cards that he didn't have. And he traded us all sorts of 1958 cards, and I got 1958 Mickey Mantle All-Star card and Warren Spahn All-Star card and Stan Musial and all sorts of cards from this guy. And I'm sure he looks back and says, "Well, these kids ripped me off." And we weren't trying to rip them off. We were getting cards that we needed, and he was getting cards he needed. But another teacher of mine was really into autographs, and he got me started into autographs. And I sent out a bunch of TTM requests. This was back in probably must have been 1980-81, right around then. And I sent a TTM request to Mickey Mantle. And it was a handwritten note, I remember it to this day. And I told Mickey how much I was a fan of his, and I invited him over to dinner. And I sent him the 1958 All-Star card to sign. Well, I don't know, a month later, I got the card, got it mailed, and lo and behold, Mickey Mantle signed my card for me. And I was beside myself because I had Mickey Mantle. But in the meantime, I had been getting all sorts of TTM requests back from Sandy Koufax and Stan Musial and Warren Spahn and Ted Williams and all these guys that back in the day would sign. So I didn't really think much of it. And then my other friend, who was collecting with me at the time, we were just looking at each other's cards albums and sheets, and he saw the Mickey Mantle. He said, "Oh, that's kind of cool. You want to trade that?" And I did. I traded it to him. I don't remember what I traded it to him for. I hope it was a good trade, but I traded him my 1958 autographed Mickey Mantle card. So we had a trick-or-treat treat and a horror because I later traded it away. So, you know, when you're young, you do things that are kind of silly, and unfortunately, I traded away my Mickey Mantle card. So now I've got we've got a bunch of autographs, TTM trick or treat stories, and the first one's from Sam K, and Sam's going to talk about his sending out a request to Larry Bird, and he got the wrong card back, and he never got his 1981 Larry Bird Topps card. And after the interview, Sam actually yesterday sent me an email and said, "Hey, can you just add this to addendum to the interview?" And he said, "If anyone actually got his 1981 Topps Larry Bird card, he's interested in getting it back because it's one of the things that really bothers him." So if you, by needle in the haystack, if you got Sam K's 1981 Larry Bird Topps card, you can send an email to Sam at LarryBirdTTM@yahoo.com. It's Sam K. It's LarryBirdTTM@yahoo.com. So enjoy Sam's story and the rest of the stories, and I wish everyone a happy Halloween.
It's trick-or-treat time here at TTM Cast, and we get Sam K from New Hampshire, and he's got an interesting story about Larry Legend. Sam, welcome to the program.
Hey, how's it going?
Anytime, great. Anytime we can get a story about Larry Bird, I'm really into it. Why don't you tell me your trick-or-treat story?
Sure. The first TTM I ever sent was probably, it was in the early 1990s, pre-internet, and it was to Larry Bird. And I sent him a 1981 Topps, which at the time wasn't worth nearly what it is now, but it was still a nice card. And I don't remember how long it took to get a return. It definitely wasn't very fast. But I got back a 1991 Fleer. Not a great card. And I was so disappointed. That was the last TTM I sent up until August of this year when I got back into collecting.
Now, did you send it to the stadium or did you send it to his house or where did you send it?
I believe I sent it to – I think I sent it to the Celtics maybe, care of the Boston Celtics, but I don't remember.
But it's too bad because that 81 card's a really nice card. Did you ever get one back?
No. No.
No, you never went out and purchased another one?
No. No.
That's too bad. You should go out and treat yourself to a 1981 Topps card. That's his first full card because obviously his rookie cards are the small, little cards, the three cards in one. But you should go out and treat yourself to a 1981 Topps Larry Bird card. Do you still have the Fleer that he signed for you?
I do. Yeah, I have that card.
Well, that's nice. And you've been back into TTM since COVID hit. And have you had any good hits since you got back in?
Yeah, I've got a lot of the regulars like Steve Garvey, Ryan Sandberg, your standard guys like that, Juan Marichal. Willie McGinnis, a few others.
Any surprises? Anyone you were really shocked to get back?
I've got a few interesting celebrities. I got back Martin Sheen the other day, a really fast return. Then, of course, I got Bob Cousy, Dave Cowens. Nick Saban, which looked like it was a real autograph. It definitely wasn't a preprint.
Well, that's cool. Have you gotten Belichick yet?
No, but I did send to him.
Good. All right, well, I want to thank you for sharing your trick-or-treat story and wish you a happy Halloween.
Okay, you too.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
And joining us to tell his TTM trick-or-treat story is Bill from Brave Star Cards. Bill, welcome back to the program. We haven't spoken in a little while.
Hey, how are you, Jeff?
Doing great. I always love to hear from you, and you're a jaded TTMer. You've been doing this for a while now, and it's nice to see you. You have kind of a fun, interesting story. Why don't you let it rip?
Sure, yeah. I have a treat for you. So, or at least it was a treat for me. So I sent a request to Doug McDermott in 2017. I think I'm looking at my information. It was April of 2017. And I sent it to him when he was with the Oklahoma City Thunder. And he got traded to the Knicks after that, which is the team I follow. But he was traded to the Knicks after that. And once somebody gets traded, I usually think something's done. Well, he returned it in January of 2018. But what was great was when it came back, there was a handwritten note on my request letter that came back with it. What I was sending him was a Sports Illustrated design. And what it came back with was a note from his mom that said, finally had him sign it when we went to New York for Christmas. Sorry it took so long. It got lost in the shuffle with the trade to New York. And then she signed it Teresa and in parentheses mom. So I thought that was great that even mom was getting Doug to sign his TTM request.
She probably went up to him and said, I've raised you better than this. You're not supposed to let these things stick around so long.
Right, exactly. He's a fan. Well, you've got to sign it.
That's kind of funny. I wonder if you approach him now, if he had any recollection of his mom. I bet his mom did.
Probably. I would bet she did this for a bunch of people during that time. So
it's nice. It's nice to hear a fun human interest story as opposed to people being fluffed off by an athlete. It seems like he and his mom both appreciated you as a fan.
Yeah, definitely.
You've been posting a lot on social media and really Twitter. Twitter's been kind of your go-to. You've been getting a lot of returns lately.
Yeah, I have been. It's been on and off the last few weeks, and I've had some sort of mail issues. I actually just posted something today where I've a neighbor who's he's not at his house. His family's not at his house much. And I found out another neighbor across the street who has a key to their house. And I found 7 TTMs inside his door, inside his mail slot.
Well, that's a treat. That's a TTM yeah. treat.
Exactly. There you go.
So there's another one for if you want, right?
Yeah, exactly. It was a trick up until now, and now it's a treat.
Were there any good ones in that lot?
Yeah, actually guys who I'd seen other people getting back and I was sort of disappointed I didn't, like Duron Cherry, Tom Pachorik, and some guys like that. So, yeah.
Oh, I'm going to have to send out Pachorik again because I need him for my 78 set and I haven't had any luck with him.
Yeah. Yeah. I just got back a bunch from him. So that was nice to see.
Very nice. Have you had any, surprises, lately? I know you're pretty active on TTM. You've been sending out a lot. So have you had any surprises lately that you were like, oh, cool, that one came back?
Actually, yeah. Recently I got, let me find my most recent, since I have this, my spreadsheet up. I've been getting a few real old ones, or I say real old. These are definitely not the oldest ones I've gotten. Wade Davis returned in 972 days from a spring training request in 2018. Let's see. I had John Beck, who's a former quarterback with the Dolphins. He returned in 933 days. Tim Foley, who I had sent to a long time ago, 825 days. So, yeah, I've had some older ones coming back lately.
Don't you love those? I always love it. Like when you get an envelope and you look at it, the stamp, you're like, when did I buy that stamp?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I've been using the US flags for the forever stamps for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
I've been running through those. I'm almost out of them. But every once in a while, I'll get one from a different stamp. I'm like, when did I send that out?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's cool.
It makes you feel good that people keep them around, too. I think I found another one. Danny Espinosa, who I sent when he was a member of the Angels, was 1,000 days. It was 1,100 days.
That's very cool.
2017.
Well, Bill, why don't you let people know where they can find you on Twitter and on Instagram?
Sure. Twitter and Instagram, I'm at Brave Star Cards. It's STARR, two R's in star. And then I'm at bravestarcards.com where I post everything. And I post at least one TTM a day, with very few days I've missed recently. So,
yep, guys, check out Bill's site. Bill is a great storyteller as well. He always has great stories about the TTM requests he has on his website, which is bravestarcards.com. So check it out. Bill, thank you for sharing your trick-or-treat story, and I wish you a happy Halloween.
Yeah, happy Halloween, Jeff. Thanks.
All right, bud, I'll talk to you later. Thanks. Joining us on the TTM Cast Hotline with another trick-or-treat story is Daniel Berman. Daniel has a great story about Brandon James. Daniel, why don't you tell us a little about your story?
Okay, so I sent a letter to Brandon James. Brandon James was a running back for the University of Florida when we won the national championships back in 2006 and 2008. I wrote a letter to a unproven address I pulled off of White Pages. I looked high and low for his address and sent a couple indexes, took a chance, wasn't expecting anything back from him since, like I said, it was an unproven test. address. And about a month later, randomly receive a manila envelope in the mail. Very confused. I was like, when did I send a manila envelope out, you know?
Yep.
And opened it up, and I was like, holy cow, you know, like, he sent like a laminated cover of a University of Florida magazine, signed it with like inscriptions of like the SEC and national championships 06 and 08, answered a couple of the questions I sent, what was like your biggest chip in or motivation in football? He answered like my size, because he was a 5'6" running back. And just, he was like also from being from the Miami, Florida area. Also answered another question, like, what was your fondest moment from your football career? And he was like, of course, it was winning those two national championships for the University of Florida. On one of the back of the index cards of one of the questions, he also told me to contact him on social media. And I was like, wow, like, from all the hundreds of returns that I've gotten, like, none of them ever really told me to contact them back to let them know that I actually received the item back. And so immediately sent him a message, and I was like, hey, thank you so much for sending me that. I wasn't expecting anything back. And we basically talked Gator football for a little bit. Told my family, and they're all pretty shocked, since we're all huge Gator fans, and they're all super shocked, like, wow, he was nice enough to send you that, and then on top of that, told you to contact him back. And so, yeah, it was a great moment, something I'll cherish for a long, long time.
Well, that's certainly kind of a trick and a treat, right? You kind of dug and used white pages to get Brandon's address, and then it all paid off with a huge treat. So that must have been certainly a thrill for you.
Oh yeah, like especially with like white pages, like it's definitely very, very hit and miss. I've only had a few successes off of that, a lot of failures, you know.
Yeah, me and you both.
Yeah, so it was definitely a great moment.
How long have you been collecting TTM?
Only for a couple years. I was in an autograph group, and I saw somebody post about through the mail, and I was like, what is that? So I looked into it, joined a couple through the mail groups, and went on from there.
Do you have anything you specialize in? Do you specialize in a sport or cards or programs or anything? Pictures is something you typically like to send?
I usually send cards, because it's the cheapest way.
Yep.
And but for the most part, I usually do like mostly football, baseball, basketball, and hockey, you know, basically all of them. And I usually try to go with like my favorite teams, you know. But if I have an old card and I look up and like, oh, they've had a lot of successes, I'll send it out to them.
What are some of your favorite teams?
So one of them is obviously the University of Florida, for football, and the Jaguars. And I get made fun of a lot for that, for being a fan of theirs. Also the, basically Tampa Bay Rays, the Tampa Bay Lightning, and the Atlanta Falcons. I'm talking to the Hawks.
We got a lot of teams to sign. The Jaguars are great signers. A lot of the old guys, James Stewart and Mark Brunell, those are guys who are good signers. And the Rays are always great signers. So you got some good teams there.
Yeah, I just had my second success with Mark Brunell earlier this week. I sent him out Sports Illustrated magazine.
Nice. Now, you've been just collecting for a couple of years. Have you had any kind of surprises or successes that you were kind of shocked of in the last year or so?
Besides like that Brandon James one, I know another, we call them Gator greats, like the Gators that were like inducted into the Gator Hall of Fame. One of them was Chris Doering, and He played back in the 80s, and he actually got into contact with my uncle on LinkedIn, and I was surprised about that. Other successes, this off the top of my head, I can't really think of much besides a couple random Jaguars players that like I found on white pages.
Okay, so you use all the online stuff, Sports Card Forum and SportsCollectors.net, but you also kind of dig through white pages and stuff. And are there any of those sources you use?
Those are like the three sources I usually use. I'm a big fan of SCN. So that's what I mainly use. Occasionally I'll have to dig out on white pages, but for the most part it is on SCN.
Cool. Well, Daniel, thank you again for sharing your story. It's a great trick or treat story, and I wish you a happy Halloween.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
And now for another TTM success, trick-or-treat, horror story from calling from his home in Ohio is Ian. Ian, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, you know what? You emailed me your story about Jim Taylor, and I thought it was really cool. So why don't you just jump right into it?
Alrighty. So I'm a huge Packers fan, so obviously I'm trying to write to as many Lombardi Packers as I can. And one of the earliest guys I wrote to was Jim Taylor back in, I believe it was July of 2018. So, like, about, I think it was 8 days after I mailed it out, I got it back. And he didn't sign the card, so I looked at the letter I sent him, and he wrote on the back, "Fee is $30 for my C-H-A-R-Y-T. Obviously, he meant to say charity, but he spelled it wrong. So I'm like, I don't remember him charging any money at all. So I looked him up on Sports Card Forum, and it turns out he actually only charged $10. So not only did he try to get an extra $20 out of me, he tried to make me think it was for charity.
A true TTM horror story. Did you ever try to get him another time?
No, sadly I never remembered to send to him again until before he died.
That's too bad. Have you tried to purchase one of his autographs just so to add it to your collection?
Oh yeah, I think it was at Christmas. The Hall of Fame was selling big posters. I think the dimensions were 30 by 25 of Jim Taylor that were signed. So I ended up buying one and it's hanging on the wall right here behind me right now.
You know, it's funny because there's some athletes that you know growing up that you idolize. You think you have a relationship with them, and then they do something like that, and it just kind of leaves a sour taste in your mouth.
Yeah.
Have you had any – so that's really a kind of a cool horror story, and I like that he misspelled charity. Now, maybe he was an old man at the time and was just kind of being a curmudgeon, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, he was 83, so –
it's too bad. So you collect Green Bay Packers stuff. Is that your main focus?
Yep.
Do you post on Instagram or Twitter or anything?
Yeah, I have a Twitter at StarCard, Star as in Bart Star.
Did you get Mr. Star before he passed?
He was the first letter I ever sent to. Sadly, it was well after he was unable to write, so I ended up getting the standard. Mr. Star is unable to sign at a time. But it's still a cool piece in my collection.
What other Green Bay Packers do you have?
Paul Hornung was the first one I ever got. I actually ended up meeting him at a card show back in March. He was a very nice guy. I got Jerry Kramer back in February of 2019. Going through my binders here to find the other guys I got. I got Al Carmichael. I got Ted Hendricks on his only Packers card from his playing days, which I believe was 1975 pop.
That's a nice one.
I've gotten Boyd Dollar to sign a few cards for me. I've got Carol Dale, Herb Adderley. I've got Lynn Dickey, James Lofton. I've got 80s guys. I got Jamal Williams. he's the only current Packer who I've gotten to sign. So
did you get Favre?
No, he wants $100. So
he was signing a while ago, and then he kind of everyone just sent him too money, and he stopped signing.
Yeah, I'm only 16, so $100 is a little bit out of my price range.
Yeah. How about Mark Shimura? He signs.
Yeah, I got him a while ago. I think April 2019, I believe, is when I got him on a 2016 Classics blue back.
Do you collect anything else or just Packers? Just Packers.
I kind of just go with whoever signs, really. All sports. I've spent to plenty of basketball, hockey, baseball. I've even gotten a few non-sport guys. I got George W. Bush. I got Terry Gilliam from Monty Python.
Nice. All right, Ian, well, thank you very much for sharing your story with us. So, I'm sorry it's not a trick-or-treat story, but it's certainly a TTM horror story. Why don't you let people know where they can find you on Instagram, or if you post on Instagram, or I know you post on Twitter, but why don't you let people know where they can find your stuff when you post it?
Yeah, I obviously my Twitter. I used to have an Instagram, but I deleted it a while ago. I still have a YouTube channel, though, Stars Football Cards and More.
Okay, so Ian's on Stars Football Cards and More. You posting your successes there?
No, that's more of just when I buy hobby boxes, but I'll occasionally post a TTM video here and there.
Yeah, and I know you post on Twitter. Why don't you give your Twitter handle one more time?
Capital S-C-A-R-R-S, capital C-A-R-D-S.
All right, guys, go follow Ian. Go check out his YouTube channel. I'm going to go check it out. Ian, thanks for sharing your story with us. And, happy Halloween.
Yep, happy Halloween to you, too.
All right, pal. Thanks. We have another TTM cast trick-or-treat Halloween story. We have Tom from Ohio calling. Tom, welcome to the program.
Thank you, sir.
Welcome. Happy Halloween coming up very soon. You have a great story, I was saying. Anytime you can get Dr. J and Larry Bird into any story, it's a great story. Why don't you tell us your TTM story?
Okay, my story was 1981. I'm 55 now, so I was...
16. You and me both.
Yes, sir. I was 16 years old at the time, and the Cleveland Cavaliers were hosting the All-Star Game. And back then, they used to have a practice the day before the game. So my father took me up to the game, to the practice the night before. And afterwards, if anybody's ever been to the old Richfield Coliseum that the Cavaliers played in, there was a tunnel, just a place where the buses would pull down into, and then just one steel door where the players would go in. So it was very accessible for autographs back then, and there weren't a lot of autograph collectors anyway. But after the practice, my father waited around for me, and I went down where the players came out of the doors hoping to see Larry Bird, who at the time was my favorite player. And when Mr. Bird came out, I hurried up and reached into my bag, and I had the Sports Illustrated with him, Dr. J, on the cover. So I asked Mr. Bird if he would sign the cover for me, and he did with no problem. I told him he was my favorite player, and we just started walking up the ramp wherever he was going. I don't know if he had a private ride, but as we started walking, I realized I was the only one with him, so I pulled something else out of my bag and asked him if he would sign that as well. And without hesitation, he just looked at me and he said, "No, you greedy bastard." I don't know. I didn't know what really to do, but I looked at him and I said, "All right, thank you, Mr. Bird. You're my favorite player still." And, and we kind of just walked away, but he still is my favorite player. Any old Celtics, John Havlicek and the Spurs with Manu Ginobili and Parker, those are some of my favorite all-time players. But interesting story, and it didn't really affect the way I felt about him. And now that I have collected autographs my whole life, I still kind of realize that, he had his reasons for it, and I had my reasons for asking for two, and we kind of just met in the middle, and I got one. So,
did he laugh when he said it, or were you taken back, or you don't really remember?
I was taken aback because he was dead serious about it. He didn't laugh. He just said it, and he gave me my one autograph, and that's what I was getting, and I was thankful for that. But at the time, I thought, autographs, again, like I said, they're not like they are today. So just stick two autographs in front of a player, even of his magnitude back then, wasn't uncommon because, you know, had there been a line, absolutely, I would have understood. But to have him by myself and walking with him, I didn't think anything of trying to pull a second item out of my bag. But I still have that Sports Illustrated. It's never been signed by Dr. J.
It is not?
It is not. I would probably like to get it one day, but I can say I wasn't a fan of Dr. J's because if you were a fan of the Boston Celtics in the 1980s, you didn't like anything about the 76ers. So it all worked.
Dr. J is having a private signing coming up in November.
Okay.
And I think it was $100 for a flat item, and I think that'd be a really neat one to get signed by him.
It would, because, you know, I got Larry Bird's signature hasn't changed much over the years. And so, you know, I got that crisp full name. You know, I know sometimes you get L Bird, but I got the full Larry Bird, which is a nice signature. And I was just happy to get it. You know, the Coliseum in Richfield back then was an unbelievable place for autographs. If you were willing to wait around where the buses went in, and, you know, what security back then was maybe one security guard, and the players would. I even got Patrick Ewing walking to a private mobile, and that, you know, that's almost unheard of to get Patrick Ewing, but
I'm jealous.
Yeah. And so another real quick one too, George Gervin came outside the Coliseum. I went up obviously to see the Spurs. Gervin was one of my favorite players, and he came out the side doors and tried to fool everybody, but we were waiting on him, and there was about 12 of us, and it was a winter night in Cleveland and real cold, and he said, I'm not signing any autographs. It's too cold out here. And somebody in the audience said, but the Iceman don't get cold. And so the Iceman stuck around for 5 minutes, signed everybody, and left.
So. That's awesome. It sounds like you've compiled a really neat collection.
Yeah, I've got – well, I live literally minutes away from the Hall of Fame and where the players always stay for the Hall of Fame game when they used to come down. So I've been chasing autographs since I was 12 years old, and it was nothing to have George Halas in front of you, or, you know, I got Al Davis numerous times. I used to work at the hotel actually too and delivered room service, and I've delivered room service to Al Davis, Joe Namath, Mel Blunt, Howard Cosell. So, you know, it was, you just did what you had to do. If you asked for an autograph and they denied you, that was it. But, you know, there was no company policies that you couldn't ask for an autograph. So I've accumulated about 7,000 to 8,000 autographs in life.
Now, do you have a nice man cave? Do you have stuff put down in your basement? Or
I do not. I just one day I will. I've had them before, and then I moved, and I store everything away. So I go through peaks and valleys. You know, I went from sports, and then I went into, and I got into military, and then I got into the Tuskegee Airmen years ago, and then I went and crossed over into politics and wanted to get as many U.S. presidents as I could. And now I'm kind of back into the sports scene again. If it's rare and unique, I'll go any sport, but I'd say collecting autographs, probably football is my favorite sport. And I focus on Hall of Famers and players who played when I was growing up, because I've kind of lost a lot of respect for the players of today. And, you know, even if I see all these young people wanting a Patrick Mahomes, wanting to pay $500 for these guys. And for $500, I'd rather go buy 5 Jim Brown autographs.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. The one current player that I don't have is Tom Brady, and I don't want to spend $1,500 for his autograph, you know?
Absolutely. I do not have a Tom Brady as well. I one of my favorite players, but, you know, my favorite players, I'm a Steelers fan. My cousin played for the Steelers back in the early 70s, so I became a Steelers fan, and Terry Bradshaw was my favorite player along with O.J. Simpson. So that night when O.J. did all that and was on the run, that was an interesting night for me as a fan. But
yeah, so you and I grew up the same time. I was a huge O.J. Simpson fan. If you got a second, I got a quick O.J. Simpson story. So when I was a kid, and this must have been 1972, 73, right around there, was my first Patriots game at Schaefer Stadium. My dad didn't want to take me, because if you remember, Schaefer Stadium was a real tough place to go see a game. So they didn't really take kids back then.
Right.
So he takes me to the Buffalo Bills game because I loved O.J. Simpson. I idolized him. I read all his books. I knew everything about O.J. Simpson.
Yep.
And so we're in the stands, and I'm all excited to see O.J. OJ takes the ball first. It was the first or second play of the game. I remember it. Takes the ball, runs right, because we were on the left-hand side. He runs right, sweep going towards the sideline, and he punched Sugar Bear Hamilton and got thrown out of the game. I literally saw him play one play.
Yeah. Wasn't Sugar Bear, was he number 70?
Seven, maybe 72.
Yeah, 70. One of those. Yeah.
But I couldn't believe it. I was so excited to see OJ Simpson, and then I never. I think he either got hurt the next year, and then he got traded, and he was gone.
Yeah, my cousin played for the Steelers from '69 to '72, so he played in the Immaculate Reception game. '73, he got traded to the Patriots. And that's the way I became a Steelers and a Patriots and a Celtics fan. When people say, oh, you're a front runner, because in the 70s, growing up, and he went to Notre Dame. So I had Notre Dame winning national championships. I had the Celtics winning titles. I had the Steelers, the best team in football. It was a great time to be a kid for me in high school, you know, because I had bragging rights pretty much every year at some point. But those are still my favorite teams. I passed those teams on along to my two children, and it's been fun. But a couple other quick, interesting stories real quick for you. The two biggest jerks I've ever faced, even when my son was with me, and he was only maybe 11 or 12, so, you know, you hate to see why kids get rejected for autographs, but John David Booty at Notre Dame, when USC just pounded the Irish, was just the biggest jerk, wouldn't sign anything. So even my son called him a name, and I couldn't even fault my son. I just said, good for you, you know. And then at the Hall of Fame game here in Canton, I think it was his rookie year, maybe his first or second year, Marshawn Lynch with the Buffalo Bills was the biggest jerk ever. He just kept passing my son up in the line, and I thought, well, go to the end of the line, and he'd go to the end of the line, and he'd get to my son again, and he would pass him up again. And finally, I just looked at him. I go, Marshawn, and I can't even say it on your air, but I called him a choice word. I said, I don't know what this kid ever did to you, but you are, and I walked away. And so to this day, I never did like Marshawn Lynch, but it's been an interesting ride all the way along. I acquired my best autograph was a Thurman Munson baseball that I sold through.
Oh, wow.
Auctions out of Dallas, and I got five figures for that baseball, but paid only a couple hundred for it. But the other interesting story, I used to own a painting business, and I was at a painting trade show at a local Sherwin-Williams store, and the guy selling paint, my friend walked in with me. I'm glad my friend was with me that day painting. He had a Notre Dame sweatshirt on, and the old man paint that was selling supplies said, oh, you guys Notre Dame fans? And my friend says, I'm not really. And I said, I'm the biggest Notre Dame fan there is. It turns out, he says, well, my dad played for Notre Dame. My mind started kind of computing how old this guy's dad must have been. And I said, well, then your dad had to have played for Newt Rockne. And he said, yeah, he played in 1914, 15, and 16.
Wow.
And it turns out he was he still is the all-time points per game leading scorer in Notre Dame history. He was a captain. He was an All-American. And then he went on in the Hubmobile dealership in 1920 here in Canton. He was the vice president of the first NFL under Jim Thorpe. And if you read stories about the old NFL, you know, college was king back then. But some people actually give this gentleman credit for, he was the one who said, the NFL will work, but we got to give it time and we got to stick with it. So he gets credit for that. But the father said, my father's no longer around, but I have his letter sweater at home. And he sold me he goes, I'll sell it to you for $300. Now, this was probably 20 years ago, 25 years ago. I said, absolutely. Well, he said he'd be back down that way because he was in Cleveland. I was in North Canton. He says, I'll be back down in a couple weeks. I'll bring it down with me. He brought it down. He said, I forgot to have it dry cleaned. Give me $150.
Really? That's awesome.
Yeah. I sold that through Heritage as well for $7,000 to another Dame fan. But it's just something. It was in my closet. If I had a man cave, and maybe I wouldn't have parted with it, but at the time it was in a garment bag. And I thought I actually was going to give it to Notre Dame, but when they redid the Heisman room and all that, their trophy room, they went a different direction after Lou Holtz, and they said, yeah, they didn't think it was that great of an item or something. You know, I think they had the wrong person in charge of trying to acquire mementos, and they said, we don't need it right now, and it came back into my collection.
That's neat. That's a neat story. Well, thank you for sharing the story. I got one more question for you in regarding TTM and sending it out through the mail. Are you a TTMer, or are you just a strictly a person?
I was a TTMer when I was younger, and then I got a hold of some of these groups, these through the mail groups, and I'll tell you what I've been the last year is I've been a buyer. I mean, I run a business and I take care of developmentally disabled individuals, so my job is very taxing. I mean, I have 50 employees, I have 20 clients, and you never know what's going to happen day to day. But sometimes I use this as an excuse to not get my pen back out, but it's been really advantageous for me to buy things off people and keep building on my collection. And I've got a few letters at home right now written out, Roger Craig, Bob Lilly, and a couple others. And a funny, interesting one is the first TTM I did this year to get back into it, I did Charlie Trippi because he was an automatic. I went out and found a book of his from 1948 in great condition, and I sent that to him, and I never received it back.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, yeah. I've had Bob Lilly on my show. I don't know if you want to go back and check my interview with him. I met him at a card show here in Massachusetts, and he was a true gentleman, and he signs just about everything he sent to people. Sometimes he looks for a donation, but...
Yeah, I heard he's doing $5 a card, which is still... I have some real nice 60s and 70s cards, and if I can send 6 or 8 of them out, you know, and try to acquire every one of his Topps cards and send them $40, $50, I have no problem. I guess he's giving all the money to a food shelter in the Dallas area.
Exactly. He's a real true gentleman.
Absolutely. So, you know, I can say that Larry Bird called me a bastard, and I might be the only person to never receive Charlie Trippi back in the mail.
Well, Tom, I want to thank you very much for sharing your stories with us, and it was a pleasure to meet you. I know you're on Facebook, seeing the post on Facebook. Do you post anything on on Instagram or Twitter or any other social media?
I do not belong to those two groups yet. I've kind of been behind the times a little bit. I'll probably go into Instagram if either one of them. But I'll have to check out some of your ex-pod or your old podcasts. So what will I find them under?
Yep, they're under. I have a website. It's called ptmcast.com.
Okay.
You can find all the podcasts right there. Just click on the buttons that says podcast, and you can see it. I just released my, I think it was about my 73rd or 74th podcast since I started doing this. So,
real nice.
Yeah, there's all. I do one every week. So this one is going to be. We're gonna post this on Sunday, October 25th. And I'll let you know. But I want to thank you again, and I wish you a happy Halloween.
Well, that wraps up another edition of TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM Autograph Collector. My name is Jeff Baker, and I have been your host for the program. Hey, we're looking for guests for future shows to close out the year. We still have November and December and looking to book some guests. So if you want to join the show and talk TTM, I'd love to have you. So send me an email if you're interested at ttmcast@yahoo.com. I want to thank all the guys for joining us today. Was sharing their TTM trick-or-treat or horror stories. Hopefully you enjoyed it as much as I did talking with them. It's always nice to make new friends and talk TTM, and that's kind of why I do this show. So I want to wish everyone a happy Halloween. Hopefully you enjoyed it. And as always, we'll see you next week. Our next show will be Sunday, November 1st. And as always, I want to wish you many happy returns. See you next week.